Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for this beautiful day you've blessed us with. Now the blessed opportunity to be able to get into your word. Help us now as we continue to study this word encouragement, how much we can actually truly find through your word and from your word and from all the many blessings you pour upon us. We thank you oh so much for that as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study of A to Z in the word encouragement, if you will turn to Revelation chapter 20. We see here the prophecies concerning the last days, the visions that were given to John the Apostle, and the experiences that he had there in the Isle of Patmos, as he records here concerning the thousand-year reign, known as the millennial period. And that is very encouraging to see what is going to be going on then, as well as what we see further on as we continue this. But let's look here at Revelation chapter 20, verse 1, where it says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season." It's interesting here how we see that Satan is bound. Now, of course, the timeline is at the end of the tribulation time, as we read in chapter 19 previously, then the initiating of the 1,000 years of the ruling reign of Jesus Christ. Already the Antichrist and false prophet are in the lake of fire, and now Satan is bound for only a period of time, 1,000 years, but he'll be loosed for a season. We think, well, why is he being let out? Why is he being loosed? You have to consider all the many, many people that are going to be born during that 1,000 years. Because there'll be people that survive the tribulation time, the born-again Christians that are able to go over into the kingdom of the millennial period, and they'll be having kids, and their kids will be having kids all for 1,000 years. So there's a lot of people being born. Those people have to be given the opportunity to choose Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, or to deny Him. And Satan being loosed for a season to tempt the people, to help them be able to make that decision. Do they want to follow Satan? Do they want to follow God? And that's why he's loosed for a little season, for that last opportunity to tempt the people. Verse 4. "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus." Now, who's going to be these judges? We know the Lord's already told the disciples that they would have that opportunity. And others will qualify for that as well. And they'll be given positions of priests and kings and judges and other officials to be able to rule and reign with Jesus Christ for that 1,000 years. "And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God." Now, these that were beheaded are talking about those that were killed during the tribulation time, "and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection." That rest of the dead would be anybody who happened to die during the millennial period, and all of the dead from all time past that were not born again, that were not godly. As it continues, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That verse 6 is where it speaks of how all of the born-again Christians that are part of the first resurrection will be able to rule and reign with Jesus Christ, given various positions. There'll be a lot of opportunities for us to serve the Lord during that time. A lot of people fail to consider that or think about that, how much more opportunities we have in our future being born-again Christians. So when he comes down and raptures us up, we'll be part of that first resurrection and be able to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years, including those, like he spoke of earlier, that were killed during the tribulation time, being a part of this as well. Verse 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Note this here is mentioning once again about Satan being loosed for the season, and the vast number of folks. It says, as the sand of the sea. There'll be that many people that will turn against God, turn against Jesus Christ, ruling and reigning right there with them, hand in hand in person, being able to see him and be around him and turning against him in that way. It's awful that you would have that. But yet we see how they rejected him when he came down to die on the cross for us, and they'll reject him during the millennial period as well. There'll be that many. Of course, millions and millions will be saved and be truly born-again Christians during that time as well. But it's awful to see that there's going to be this many that will fall for Satan's lies and turn against the Lord. And it clearly shows that he continues to give mankind a free will to choose where they want to go, who they want to serve. As he continues, and they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Devoured all of those that rejected Jesus Christ. Verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And that's awesome there. To know that there will be a time when Satan will have judgment upon him, and he will be cast into that lake of fire forever and ever, along with that Antichrist and that false prophet. Verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. That's a reference there to actual total destruction of the old, or the present, heaven and earth, and the establishment of the final judgment, the great white throne judgment. And that great white throne judgment will be for everyone that had not been a part of the judgment seat of Christ that had already occurred right after the rapture. Because after the rapture, we go up to a judgment, the Bema judgment, they call it, the judgment seat of Christ. And then all the rest of the people that have not received a judgment will be a part of this great white throne judgment. That means all of the ungodly, all the unrighteous, all the unsaved of all time will be a part of this, as well as anyone who passed away during the millennial period, that even was born again Christians during the millennial period that passed away. So they would be a part of this judgment as well. So everybody that hasn't had a judgment up to this time will get their opportunity for judgment at the great white throne judgment. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Note, over and over we see this, according to their works, according to their works. There will be different degrees of reward as well as different degrees of punishment according to people's works. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And that final book he mentions there is the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the book where your name gets recorded when you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So if you're not in that book, you're automatically going into the lake of fire. Now, according to how much evil you did, what your works were, will determine on how much torment you have for eternity in that lake of fire. All right, now let's roll on into chapter 21, which is very, very encouraging, because we see here what we have to look forward to as far as a new heaven and a new earth and no more pain or suffering. Let's get right in into it. Revelation chapter 21, one of my favorite sections, where it reads, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Awesome words of encouragement right there. Let's look a little bit further at these. We see here where it begins, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Some have mistakenly said that there would be this earth restored. They have mistaken the time period of the millennial for the eternal state. Because during the millennium, this earth here will be restored for 1,000 years, back to like it was, similar to the time period in the Garden of Eden before the fall of man. For that 1,000 years, it'll be paradise. But at the end of that, he's going to totally destroy it, because it's set up there about how in verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Just as you see over in the records of Peter, that it's all going to be melted away, completely gone, even the elements. And it'll be a new heaven and a new earth, not a remodeled heaven and a remodeled earth. Because it says clearly, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Not just restored or remodeled, passed away, gone. And there was no more sea. That means even the oceans, everything, all of it, gone, completely. Totally gone and all brand new, because I knew heaven and a new earth. Praise the Lord. And here also it says, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Seeing that come down, John was able to witness that vast, huge, beautiful new city coming down. As we further read, we'll see the descriptions of it and the size of it, 1,500 miles square, cube, almost like, and that's how big it'll be, and it'll have those 12 gates we'll be able to go in and out. It's awesome. But as it continues here, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." And that's going to be so awesome to have right there in your presence, to be able to be that close to God Almighty, to Jesus Christ, to be able to walk hand in hand with Jesus Christ through this beautiful city that he describes. All that. And then to take away all of our suffering. As it said, "And God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes." All the tears from their eyes. There's some people that have said, well, won't it be people saddened because when they look around and they see some people that they hoped would have made a decision to trust Jesus Christ and had not, chose to go to hell instead? When you see those missing, won't you be sad? Won't you be crying? I've heard people ask me that. Well, we're given here the knowledge of knowing that the Lord's going to take that pain away from us. We're not going to be sorrowful. He's going to wipe away all the tears from our eyes, from all the suffering that we had to suffer through in this physical world. Reason, "There shall be no more death." That's never again separated from God. No more death. We'll have that glorified body. It'll be like Jesus Christ, and we'll have that for eternity. Never be separated from it. "Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain." Oh, that's a great one there. All the aches and pains we have when we get up and move around a little bit, especially after you get a few years under the belt, as it says, and you know, all those aches and pains, that'll be gone. Painless. "For the former things are passed away." He sat upon the throne and said, "Behold, I make all things new." See, once again, he reemphasizes the fact that all things new. Not remodeled, not just brought back into restoration. No, totally new. And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." He said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is a thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." To freely be able to drink of that fountain of the water of life. "There's he that overcometh shall inherit all things." We're going to be one of the children of the family of God. Therefore, everything that God owns, and he owns everything, it's going to be ours as well. And that's awesome. He says, "I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Of course, sons and daughters. But note here, going out to the ungodly, to those that chose to reject Jesus Christ, in verse 8, "But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." We got a choice. You choose to follow Jesus Christ and receive all the many blessings we just read about, or you turn against him and you're one of these murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and liars. You're going to be in the lake of fire for eternity. Simple choice. It isn't that God casts anyone into that lake other than the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan. They're cast into it, but the others choose to. They make a decision. You choose to accept Jesus Christ or you deny him. When you deny him, you're denying the opportunity to come into heaven, to be a part of the family. It's a choice that everyone must make. Make the right choice. All right, let's get into some more of this that John was able to see in chapter 21 in verse 9. "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife." Now, the bride, the Lamb's wife, is the church, is all of the born-again believers. "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. So we get a little bit of description of what the planet is going to be like. It's going to have great and high mountains. And these are going to be outside of the city because he was outside of the city on top of one of the brand new great and high mountains looking and seeing the vision of the city coming down to the planet. Verse 11, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now, it's interesting it has these gates. So why are there gates? Why is there a gate? Why is there a gate ever designed? It's to be able to enter in and out, to be able to go in and out of a particular place. Therefore, we will have an opportunity to go in the city, dwell in the city with the Lord, praise the Lord, worship the Lord. And he also allows us to be able to go out of the city and enjoy the blessings of the huge new planet that he speaks into existence, with all the wondrous creatures, with the mountains and the rivers and the lakes and the oceans and all the wondrous creatures created in their perfection, getting along peacefully for eternity. Be able to go out and interact with all those is wondrous. And then be able to come in and praise the Lord face to face and walk hand in hand with him in a huge big city. Awesome that he allows us to do that. Verse 15, and he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof, and the city lieth 4 square, and the length of it as large as the breadth, and he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. That's what I'm speaking of earlier about it being like a cube. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear crystal. So it's about 1,500 miles is what's been estimated, square, cube. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardox, the sixth a sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysopher, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. It doesn't say there's not going to be a sun or a moon, which many people have speculated that, but it says that the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine upon it. The rest of the earth surely could and will, but the city itself will be available 24 hours a day with light of Jesus Christ in there to be able to come in and out and worship. Verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor in it. Note, nations and kings. Therefore, we understand that outside of the city, there will be other nations with rulers, an organized system with kings and so forth. These positions will be granted to those who have earned them through their service during their lifetimes and during the millennial period. As it continues, verse 25. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, no night at the city. Therefore, they leave the gates open all the time for people to come in and go out. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. Once again, mentioning outside of the city, there will be nations, and the glory will come into the city. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in Lamb's book of life. Well, they'll be the only ones that will be allowed to come into that city, because they'll be the only ones on the entire brand new beautiful earth, because all the others have been cast into the lake of fire. Therefore, make sure that you do what it takes to get your name written in the Lamb's book of life, so you can be blessed with the wondrous blessings that we've been reading about here. And it's very encouraging to know that that is what we have to look forward to ultimately as born-again Christians. And on over into chapter 22, we see about a pure river of water, crystal, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And further descriptions of what heaven is going to be like. And then on over in chapter 22, verse 7 reads, Behold, I come quickly. Of course, that's the words of Jesus Christ. And he's saying, suddenly. When he comes, it's going to be suddenly. And then in verse 12, And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Note, once again, giving us rewards for our work, for what we have done. He gives us opportunities to build rewards that we can enjoy now, enjoy during our millennial period, and enjoy during the eternal state. So awesome. Verse 13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And then over in verse 20, He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That is so awesome that we have so many wondrous things ahead of us as truly born-again Christians. And take every opportunity the Lord gives you to be able to do a work that He sets there in front of you to do. Don't look back and regret the things that you have passed up, the opportunities that you have passed up, because many of us have looked back and said, well, that would have been a perfect time to invite someone to church, or that would have been a perfect time to show someone the pathway to the Lord, and we missed it. But know and understand that the Lord gives us opportunities, so look for those opportunities and pray for the boldness and the understanding to know what to do and when to do it when the time comes. To be able to build up the rewards that we'll be able to use during this time, the millennial period, and for eternity. So much to look forward to. It is so awesome what the Lord has available for us, and it is truly all by grace. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you oh so much for the encouragement that we find throughout your entire Bible that you have preserved for us. As we pray in Jesus' precious holy name, amen. Thank you all.